That's when he would sin, don't you see? But you're just not spiritual, Brother Floyd. We worship on Saturday. Okay. But I'm showing you what God's got to say about it. Why? Verse 6. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. You want Sunday to be a special day? Or December the 25th to be a special day? He observes it unto the Lord even though he knows Jesus wasn't really born on December 25th. He still observes it to the Lord. Oh, listen, we got people getting all upset that you're observing December the 25th, friend, because it's not the birth of Jesus. But the Bible says God doesn't give a fig. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he doesn't observe it. The ones that don't want to observe December 25th, Raymond, they're free. But I'm sick of them trying to put it on me. And the idea is they're spiritual and we aren't. They have extra knowledge. Oops, oops, look, Oriental mysticism. They got those mysterious knowledges. They know that it's actually the birth of Tammuz, Adonis. Yeah, I do too. But God made that day too. You know, the day that Hitler was born on, I don't, you know, burn a German flag on that day. Is that okay? I mean, you know, I really don't pay. You know why? It's the day God made. And there was a lot of other people born that day too. Okay. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He gives God thanks. He that does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. Lord, I thank you for the pork chop. I thank you for the ham. I thank you for the bacon. Praise you, Lord, I thank you. God sanctifies it, Timothy 4 said. Lord, I think this stuff is bad for me. It's not healthy for me. And you may have something there. It's probably not as good for you as beef. But when you pray over it, God's going to sanctify it. He doesn't eat, and he gives God thanks. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to eat pork. That's right. You don't. No commandment. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. In other words, he's saying there, we're not islands. What's this island over here? We're Northway Baptist Church and only love Northway Baptist people. We get separated from each other with those titles. That's what I'm saying. But he says, we're not islands. We belong to each other. And if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Are you really ready to pray that prayer? You got cancer. Are you really ready to come to grips with that? If I live or die, I still belong to God. I'd like for you to heal me, Lord. I don't mind telling you the truth, but I'm still God's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. In other words, beloved, there ain't no escape. Look, I don't care if you're dead or alive. Jesus is Lord of both, whether they know it or like it. You know, when you're king whether people like it or not. Did you know that? If you're king, you're king. Doesn't matter whether you like that he's king. Doesn't change the facts. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Ooh. I better quit judging you guys. Because I'm going to stand at the same place you're going to stand. And verse 4 said, we all belong to him, and we're going to have to answer for ourselves. So I guess I may as well try and make you... I guess I better quit trying to make you answer to me. Did you hear that? Isn't that precious? I'd better quit trying to make you answer to my version of the Bible. For as it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. In other words, you quit worrying about what Raymond's doing. You're going to give an account for yourself. You quit worrying about what Fred's doing. Fred's going to have to account for himself, and so are you, and so is Brother Floyd. Therefore, in other words, since that's true, since we're all going to have to face God individually, let us not judge one another anymore. Oh, I love the word anymore. Al, he figured out we already had done it, didn't he? Do you see that? Do you all see that? The Lord put the word anymore there because he knew we'd already done it. Anymore. But rather resolve this, that no one put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in his brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself. Now the subject of the verse here, you better get that straight. We're talking about food and drink here. That's what we've been talking about. We're not talking about perversions. Because there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now listen, let me tell you what that means. If this brother Stephen Howe, if brother Howard here, if he is convinced that eating pork is a sin, if he really believes that in his heart, and he eats it, he sinned. Because he is convinced from Scripture that it's sin. But I'm convinced from Scripture that it is not sin. And I eat pork, I'm not sinning. We both ate pork. He sinned, I didn't. You say, wow, that's kind of wild. Oh, no, you can't do that with everything. There's some things God already laid out very clear. Fornication is sin. I mean, you can't say, you, I got a new doctrine, Brother Floyd. Love it. I don't believe fornication is sin. Therefore, for you, brother, you believe it, you do it, it's sin. For me, it isn't. No, God said all fornication is sin. What I'm saying is, don't you try and twist verse 14 out of the true context. It's talking about food. Okay? And how do you know that? Well, golly, it started off in verse 2 talking about eating vegetables. Okay, we're talking about food. Verse 15. But if your brother is offended because of your food, see, I told you we're talking about food, you are no longer walking in love. Now listen to me. Let me tell you what that means. I know Brother Howard, and I know he's really hung up on pork. I know it. It bugs him. And he's invited me out to Denny's for breakfast. And I'm free. I'm walking in freedom. Now I can really love him by sticking it in him and watching him squirm. Bring me 4 pieces of bacon, 6 slices of bacon, and 4 patties of sausage, and ham. Oh, and a pork chop on the side. I don't love him. I'm trying to show him how spiritual I am. I'm above his pettiness. And it's true from Scripture there. It does say he's weaker because the food is hanging him up. He's a weaker brother. But the fact that he's a weaker brother doesn't mean that I take advantage of him. If I really love him, can't I do without pork one lousy meal for the sake of this brother that I'm supposed to love so that I don't bug him about it? I think so. I would say that that would be, now listen to me, that would be a Christian fast. I'm fasting from pork, ham, bacon, for a meal. I'm going to omit it out of love. Oh, I'm free to eat it, but don't you understand, if I'm really free, I'm free to not eat it of my own choice because of him. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. See, it's good that I'm free to eat anything I want. It's good. That's wonderful. But I can be spoken evil of if I misuse it. Because don't you see, the kingdom of God isn't really food and drink. Now listen, people take that one out of context, don't they, Al? See, the whole subject here is that the kingdom of God is more important than food and drink. But it's hard for Baptist and Assembly of God or sometimes to believe it's more important than drink, right? Now listen to me, y'all. I know I can have a glass of wine and not go to hell. I know that. I know I can. But like I told you a long time ago, I also know that many of you just couldn't handle it if you saw me have a glass of wine with my meal. I know that. It's no big deal. I don't do it. And it's really for your sake. It's really for your sake. I don't feel like I've given up anything. I don't think it's a big deal. See, the Bible does not say you shall not have a glass of wine. It doesn't say that. It warns tremendously about drinking too much. And I'll tell you, for some people, it doesn't take much to be too much. But I'm more concerned about my witness. I know every one of you in here that are Baptist and Assembly of Godders. I know every one of you. If you saw me with a glass of wine, I couldn't teach you another word in the Bible. You'd be just too turned off. It just flat turned you off too bad. I know that, so I don't. But it didn't keep my soul saved. I also know that that following Bible principles, I could have one glass every other day, never would hurt me. He even told Timothy one time to have a little glass of wine for his stomach's sake, if you'll recall, which is not total abstinence. On the other hand, I'll be ugly. Some of you that come from denominations that are very loose in your attitude toward drinking, some of y'all got some real drinking problems over in those churches. You're too loose. Now, I didn't say a little sin was okay. What I said was, I don't believe the Bible teaches having one glass of wine is a sin. But it would be for me. It would be for me. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and is approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify. Look at that. And the things by which one may edify the other guy. I want to do everything in my life that will build you up. And let me tell you boldly, that's one reason why I say the things about our denominations and our traditions that I do is to build you up. I cannot build you up while you're holding on to an idol. I've got to tear that idol out of your hand. Then when the idol's broken, you can still go to the Baptist church. Then you don't worship the Baptist church anymore. When the idol's broken, you can still go to the Assembly of God church. When the idol is broken, you can still go to the Catholic church. If you break the idol. But if you bow down to that idol, something's wrong. Verse 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure. Ooh, did you want to mark that one? Isn't that a goodie? Isn't that a kind of an end of it all? Aren't you tired of people coming up to you all the time and putting you on, down about what you eat and what you can't eat and what you can't eat? That one says, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats it with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Connie, it would offend you if I drank wine. I love you and know you're a good Baptist sober. It would offend you. So I don't do it for you. But now here's a brother that may not think there's anything wrong with it, but you know, he's always, before he got saved, he had a little drinking problem. And when he sees me have that glass of wine, he says, well, you know what? If Brother Floyd can, I can too. But you see, Brother Floyd may be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to have only one glass of wine every 3 or 4 days. But he had walking in the Spirit with his, and he goes 2 glasses, 3 glasses, 4 glasses. He's been made weak and stumbled by my example. Okay? Do you have faith? Oh, verse 22 is, you won't believe verse 22. Some of you be so glad you found that one, and others of you will just sit there in shock. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God, thank you. Woo! I got faith. I got so much faith, I don't ever get sick. You got sick, you ain't got faith. Let me tell you about my faith. Let me tell you about the wonders and the doctrines of faith. Let me give you 500 pamphlets on faith. As if, hey, the subject of the Bible is Jesus, not faith. Faith is a winner. And it's in there. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Quit flaunting it at the rest of us, trying to put us down. The object in here, don't you understand, is what we just read up here at verse 19. That the object is, the last few words, that we may edify one another. And if I start teaching my faith down where you are made to feel weak and guilty and unhappy, and I'm putting out, the object is to have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, verse 17. But I can be using something good, don't you understand? Something good from God. He said, look, even food, you can do it with food, you can do it with drink, but you can even do it with something even more wonderful than that. You can even take faith and make it condemning on people. You can boil a kid in his mother's milk. Happy is the man who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Now, when you leave here and you go to Denny's tonight and you're not really sure that it's really okay now to eat pork, you better not eat it, because the devil will jump on your conscience. And even though it of itself isn't sin, the fact that you're not convinced that it's really okay will bring you into sin because you don't eat it in faith. Whatsoever is not from faith is sin. Hey, can you not go to church on Sunday and really believe it's okay? You can't? Then you better go. You better be there. But if you feel like you can go to church on Friday, on Thursday, and that's just as much church, and you're really convinced, do it. You say, but my preacher won't like it. Didn't ask you about him. Oh, but you don't want to offend him? So it'd be okay if you wanted to go on Sunday. You know, it's convenient to go on Sunday. Well, then do it. It's okay. Turn quickly to Isaiah 58.
Hallelujah.
Now listen to me. We've been talking about this whole thing got sidetracked when they tried to put it on Jesus that they ought to be fasting instead of rejoicing and feasting, especially with a bunch of dirty sinners. But observe that Matthew was smart enough to bring the sinners to his home turf where he was in control of the entertainment. If he'd have gone to one of his buddies' homes for the entertainment to try and witness to them, they might have showed a triple X movie like he was watching with them the week before. But by bringing them to his house to witness, he was in control of what was happening. Did you learn anything about how to witness to your lost friends there? You get, see, oh, hey, your lost friends, they'll come to a free meal. They'll come to a free meal. You can offer them something that'll bring them out of the bars and out of the old girls' homes and the bed and everything to come for something. And then you get them on your turf, on your ground, where you can control the entertainment. Verse 58, chapter 58 of Isaiah, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Did you see that? Man, I've got some strong instructions from God when I talk to y'all. Some of y'all say, oh, Floyd, you really shouldn't have said that. I don't think you should. God, look what God says to me. Cry aloud. Don't spare. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Well, Mike, I got to do what God says or what you guys think I ought to do. One of the two. You ever get stuck in that one, too? You get home sometimes, and you know, and people come up, 10 of them told you they didn't like what you said, the way you said it, you were too loud, too something, and you go home and feel like you failed. Feel miserable the rest of the night. And then you read scripture like that, and God says, Joey says, you did it just right, boy. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. I've showed you guys your transgressions tonight. Legalism, putting other people under it, and equally bad, accepting it yourself. You know, receiving someone's legalistic trip that you know, you shouldn't do it, and receiving your own. When your own old self talks to you and says, you know what? You're just way too happy. You're going to have to do something religious and get miserable. All right, now look what he says. And my house of Jacob, their sins. But look what he says here. Now, specifically, we're talking about lost folks here. Yet they seek me daily. Now look, he's talking about religious people. They seek me daily, and they delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. Says they say they're looking after me, and they talk about it like they really were seeking righteousness. And forsook not the ordinance, like they didn't even forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Right. Oh, aren't you? Hey, religious people love to go to church. Now you're beginning to see, some of you are beginning to see why you never liked going. By the grace of God, some of you just weren't religious. Might have been saved, but you weren't religious, see? And you were miserable down there. But the religious folks love it. They delight in it, in approaching me. And look what the religious people are saying to God. Why, we have fasted, they say. Didn't you see it? God, where were you? Where were you when I was fasting? Didn't you notice? Why, we have even afflicted our souls. Oh, I'm setting a whole day aside this week to be miserable. I'm going to search into my soul all my old sins. You know, the one that Jesus already forgot about? I've already repented of, and he forgave. But no, I'm not going to let it hang there. No siree, not me. Oh, God, you're going to be pleased with me. I'm going to go back and dig up all my old wickedness in my mind so that I can be miserable over it. Aren't you happy, God? I'm afflicting my soul. Now, you can afflict your soul in righteousness. If I sinned against Job, I can sit before the Lord and afflict my soul. Oh, God, I've sinned greatly. Sin against you and I've sinned against Joe. Lord, I'm sorry. That's affliction of soul. It has to do with repentance. And if I'm really... Now, the idea isn't just to stay there afflicting your soul, you know, on and on and on. It's to get up and accept God's forgiveness and go ask Joe for his forgiveness. Amen. After you repent and ask Joe's forgiveness. Why, we've even afflicted our souls. And you didn't take... don't you know about this, God? Have you no knowledge of this? And behold, in the day of your fast, God says, you find pleasure. God, hey, now not... See, the pleasure of feeling religious. I'm fasting and I feel so good about it. I wonder if anyone knows I'm fasting, so I'll feel better. I mean, you know, if I'm going to impress this bunch that I'm spiritual, I mean, I got to let somebody know. Fasting's bad enough, but we got to get something out of this stuff. So let's get some pleasure out of it. There is a pleasure in fasting, but see, he's saying they're taking the wrong kind of pleasure. And exact all your labors, right? I want you guys to know all my good works. Count them out to God. Hey, now listen to me. In the Bible, the church has not been commanded to fast. But Jesus does tell us in Matthew that if you do fast, don't do it like the hypocrites. They let everybody know. He says, when you fast, he didn't say, thou shalt fast. He says, he figured that as we got to know him and things got real good and we were just having so much fun with him, that naturally that kind of happened. It just kind of naturally happened somewhere along the way. Now, when you do, don't let anybody know. It'll just be between you and God. On the other hand, let me say this. If someone found out you were fasting, don't even get miserable about that. See, I mean, you can even get under bondage on that. Oh, no, God told me not to let them know it. Someone's found out. See, it's the motive of our heart, though, that's the biggie. Now, look at this. Look at this as we finish. Watch God go for the motive of your heart and my heart. Verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. It says, all your reasons for fasting are wrong. I am more religious than you. I fasted. You didn't this week. Let's argue about it. And to smite with the fist of wickedness. So these are your motives. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Now look what God says. Now, many of you have asked me about fasting. Look what God says. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? He says, is that the kind of fast that I really want out of you guys anyway? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread a sackcloth and ashes under him? Would you really call that a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? God says, you guys think fasting has to do with what you're doing on the outside. Got your sackcloth out, you know, get it all neat and everything. You know, go through your little ritual. God says, that isn't what I mean. He said, now you may do that, but if that's why you're doing it, you're just on the outside again, but you're not transformed by a change on the inside to the outside. Look what God says. Verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now this is going to blow some of your minds. To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Hey, in other words, do you see what he's saying? That... Fred, you see the opportunity. Here's someone with a heavy yoke, heavy burden, and you have the ability and the wherewithal to help him break the yoke. And while he's doing it, he gets so busy doing it, he forgets to eat. He doesn't even get hungry. He's helping some widow woman move into her new home. He's helping some orphan boy get through school. He's called him over to give him some money to get him through the next semester of school. He gets so busy doing righteous acts, he forgets to eat. Now that is a spiritual fast. Ta-da! Oh, some of you never thought about this. I'm going to show you what real fasting is. Now, verse 7. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? Hey, well, you're not going to have as much food to eat, Fred, if you give some of it to the hungry. So, you may not be as full as you were going to be full. But that's a good fast. And that you bring the poor that are outcast into your house, you're so busy helping them get in that you forgot to eat. You're so busy sharing the blessings of God. When you see the naked, that you cover him. You're meeting physical needs. In verse 6, you were meeting their spiritual needs. Spiritual fast. And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Hey, you know your brother just lost his job. And you've got extra money in the bank. And you know if you see him on the street and you see how bad he looks and how bad, you know, and his kids and how hungry they all look, you'll feel terrible and have to give him some of your money. Or some of your food. Or one of your cars. Hide not yourself. God says, that's kind of fasting I'm talking about. Look what he says. Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. Everybody's got their formulas on how to have good health. Oh, just confess it. Confess it, my eye. There's a lot of people confessing it that are living mean as hell, hiding themselves from the brother. God says, now, if you guys will fast this kind of fast, whoo, you're talking about some health. Your confessions will be testimonies about what God has done. Hey, do you see this? How many of you see this as a promise for health? What a blessing. It'll break forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. A lot of people like to read that and say, you know, they'll go to the Ephesians chapter 6, and it'll go over the armor of the Christian. And they say, look, there's nothing behind. And then they'll read the last part of this and say, the glory of God is your rear guard. Yeah, but they didn't tell you how to get the glory of God back there to take care of the back end. See? Now, I just want to show you this last. How many of you in this room would like God to guide you continually so that you never had to sit there and wonder, I wonder what God wants me to do. I wonder what God's will is for my life right now. Here's a problem. I wonder what God wants. Would you just like to walk through life continually, God revealing to you in your spirit what you're to do? Sound pretty good?
Amen.
I got verse 11. And the Lord shall guide you continually. Well, how? Look at verse 9. Then you shall call, the Lord your God will answer your cry. He shall say, here am I. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. What do you mean the putting forth of the finger? I told you not to do that. Ha, ha, ha. You didn't go to church on Sunday. Ha, ha, ha. You didn't do what I told you. Look what I'm so glad you're falling apart. I'm so glad your life is... You wagging that finger at them because they're not walking in what we're saying. Then in verse 11, verse 10, if you draw out your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then all this will happen to you. Hallelujah. Would you stand? That's the kind of fast God wants. And beloved, you got to admit, those are pretty good promises. First time I read that, I wanted to find me some widow women and... and some orphans. Lord, thank you that Christianity is just that simple. Levi, come. Follow me. Father, thank you for setting us free through Jesus from the bondage of legalism, mysticism, asceticism, and from the wickedness of our own heart that we get trapped in through philosophies. In Jesus' name, amen.